fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We'd like today to continue to make our way through Romans chapter 8, a chapter I like to go back to periodically because it's pure gold. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've kind of made my way through the first six verses of this chapter. You can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The Monday and Tuesday's programs are archived there. You can listen to them at your leisure. While you're on the website, I encourage you to browse the website. There's a lot of good free stuff there to help you walk in faith and walk in Christ. Our booklets, our TV shows, our radio shows. We also have a lot of products to help you in understanding God's call in your life and being able to walk in the Spirit, as we're talking about this week. You can also download those and listen to them at your own convenience. So, as I said yesterday, I ended by reading verse 6 of chapter 8, and here's what Paul said. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So he's making a contrast here between this battle within every human heart, between the power of the flesh, that is, of sinful flesh. We talked about it as a principle. Paul calls it a law, and what he means by that is a principle within fallen human nature, church calls it concupiscence, that leads us to resist the will of God, to love ourselves and our idols before God. And it literally leaves us in a place of slavery. We can't fulfill the thing we were made to fulfill. So Paul describes it as futility. We're actually under the domination of something. We're under the domination and the rule, the dominion of sin. And it's fundamentally expressed in not trusting God and saying, my will be done, not God's will be done. I don't need anything else in this world. I declare for myself the meaning of my life and how I'm going to live my life. I answer to myself and no one else. All that stuff that we breathe every day in our culture, it's all coming from fallen human nature that insists on its radical autonomy and independence from God, and the refusal to submit because we see God as a threat and obedience and submission to God as somehow destructive of our freedom. It's a lie. It's a fundamental. It's part of living with a darkened mind. It's how the devil keeps us in a position and a condition of slavery, and he wants to lead us into our own autonomous pathway, our own road that we create for ourselves, boasting that we're free to do whatever we want to do, all the while leading one decision after another into ever deeper levels of slavery and dominion to sin and the power of sin and death, and ultimately eternal separation from God. And the very thing that Paul said, those who are in Christ don't have to be anxious about anymore, and that's condemnation. Because those who remain in the flesh will come under condemnation because we're united to a principle. We're saying yes to something in us, and that is sin. That's refusal to do the will of God, to miss the mark of God's purpose and plan for us. And in that position, I'm united to sin, and I'm going to end up coming under the judgment of sin itself. The destiny of sin is going to be God's final judgment against sin. And if I'm united to sin and I'm radically independent of God, I'm going to suffer the condemnation that comes on sin because I've united myself to it. So he's saying to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Here's something that we can't miss. One of the mistakes, I think, and one of the lies that's present in the culture in the world today, and even in the church itself, is the idea that everybody, by virtue of being created by God, is in right relationship with God. That everybody's good, everybody's basically nice, and because of that, we all are in a very positive relationship with God, and that we are children of God. We have to get clear between the distinction that the Scripture makes about what it truly means to be a child of God and the misunderstanding of that that's often present in the world. We share a common humanity. with every man and woman on the planet. Every man and woman in the planet is my potential brother and sister in Christ. We share a common humanity. We share a fallen humanity. We're called to be neighbors. We're called to love each other. But what the scripture's talking about, what Paul's talking about, is the default position of the human race, the basic condition, you might say, of the anthropology, the reality of fallen human nature, is that we're in a relationship that's hostile to God. We're in a bad situation. We're literally in a death-directed state, St. Paul says, because we're under sin. When we're born into sin. We share Adam's fallen nature. Human nature, apart from God's initiative in the giving of his beloved Son to become one of us, as Paul said here earlier, he took on human flesh, right? The likeness of sinful flesh, he came to share in our life in the flesh. And Paul says he came for sin. For what? To deal with the problem of sin. And the problem of sin was destroying human flesh. Every single human being stands in need, in other words, friend, is every single person stands in need of God's saving action given to us in his Son Jesus. No one is a daughter of God or a son of God automatically. And no one is a son of God or daughter of God on our own resources, on our own goodness, simply on our own effort. It's a gift from God. Paul articulates it so clearly here in Romans, but also in other places like Ephesians chapter 2. He said this, "And you he made alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins in which you once walked." So Paul is saying, this is the default condition of the human race. You were dead in your sins, and now God's action through Jesus in his death on the cross, taking away our sin and offering to us a gift, the gift of new life in Christ. He's leading us from the fundamental condition we're born into, which is a condition of alienation from God, which leads to death, separation from God. And he's leading us now, because he dealt with the sin problem that's at work in us, he's leading us now to life. Sin and the work of the flesh leads to death, Paul's telling us, but life in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, leads us not only to a new life here, but to eternal life itself. So again, verse 7, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." This is the slavery that Paul's talking about. Our hearts are sin sick. Every single person stands in need of God's saving action in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to come to every person and make an exchange. He comes not to condemn us, nor to judge us, but he comes to free us. And so he stands before each one of us and says, "Give me your sin. Don't deny it. Don't hide it. Don't boast in it. Don't boast in your own strength. But acknowledge Jesus' diagnosis of the sin-sick condition of your heart and your need for that heart surgery. You need Jesus to take away your sin." So Scripture says, humble yourself. Say yes to Christ. And Jesus extends his hand to you and says, "Give me your sin. Let me crucify. Let me crucify that sickness, that sin that's killing you. Let me cleanse you with my blood. And let me give you my Spirit to make you a new creation, to make you a son or a daughter, to make you a child of God like me." That's what Paul is teaching here. And so there can be no presumption that everybody already has this relationship with God. God desires it for everybody. He desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But it requires saying yes to both the purpose for which Jesus came, which was to save us because we need salvation, because we are trapped in sin and death, and we literally have no way out apart from God's saving action. imagine, this is kind of a weak analogy, but imagine yourself having been thrown overboard on a boat in the middle of the ocean in a huge storm, and you're about to go down, and someone throws you a life preserver and a lifeline, and literally you're going down, there's sharks swimming around you, and there's no way without help you're going to be rescued. He throws you that lifeline. In order for you to be saved, you have to grab hold of that lifeline and that life preserver and allow him to pull you in. You need a lifeline. Every single person, every one of us needs a lifeline. And that lifeline is Christ. God has offered his son to us so that we could be freed from all that Paul is talking about here. So he goes on in verse 9, he says, but you are not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. If the spirit of God really dwells in you. You see his distinction? You're a child of God if the spirit of Christ dwells in you. That's how someone becomes a child of God. This is why the church's mission, her proclamation, is so fundamental to who she is. It's why it's so important and why a healthy Christian mind and heart is one that is weighed down in a healthy way with a deep sense of urgency and a need to spread the gospel, to bring about this offer of salvation to all those who need it, and not to live with the presumption that everybody's already there. It's a lie, and I'm afraid it leads many people to a position of presumption or Pelagianism, an idea, I'm saving myself. Of course this is all working out for me. Of course I'm a son of God. I'm a great person. No, you're not a son of God or a daughter of God unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, as Jesus said. Of course, the Catholic Church teaches that it's possible that someone who, through no fault of their own, who never heard Christ, never had a chance to really hear the gospel, they followed the light of their conscience, that is the light that God revealed to them, drawing that person closer to God, that through God's help, and it can only come through God's help, that you could say that a person in that condition can say yes to that light of conscience in a way that responds to God's offer. God must give grace so that it's not our work, it's God's help, it's faith. Supernatural faith that God can give to people in those situations. And if they say yes to God and they follow the grace that God's given them, it's possible for them to be saved because they're saying yes in that condition. Again, because of an ignorance that's not their own fault, they're saying yes to the light, a refraction from the light that comes from Christ. And everybody who's saved, every person who is saved by Christ. It's only through his death on the cross and this gift of new life, of becoming a son and daughter of God, that someone can be saved. And someone who's in the condition I just described is saying yes to the light that God himself is showing to them. But it's only because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that that faith response can lead to salvation. And they too can participate in becoming sons and daughters of God. Friends, it's so important for us to be able to internalize this and to walk by the Spirit in confidence as children of God. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.